One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review, or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Glenn, and Glenn had a fantastic Yowie encounter. He actually ran into one of these creatures almost with his truck. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thanks, Kay.
It's exciting to have you on because your story literally made worldwide news.
Yeah, cheers for that. It's a pleasure to be here. I really like the show, and I really hope that me sharing my encounter can help other people come forward with their encounters too. Like, I'm sure there's other people that have had encounters that are just too embarrassed or too scared to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's the whole reason that we do this show, is to kind of give people that little bit of a platform to tell their stories, because there's not a lot of places that you can really do it. So do you mind kind of going back to the start and telling us how your encounter happened?
Yeah, sure. Well, it was only last year. It was in mid-November 2018. And I was driving tippers at the time, delivering road base. This is in southeast Queensland, a place called near Beachmont, Witherham. And I had to take a load of road base up to a monastery up at Witherham, which is up a steep hill on the Tambourine Mountain. And I started about 9 at the quarry and headed up and dropped off this load of road base up on top of the mountain. And I was coming down the mountain in the tipper, and my tipper's an older truck, and it's 10-ton empty or something. And I was coming down the hill, and it's a windy road down the hill, and it was a clear morning, warm enough and all that sort of stuff, and no haze or no rain or anything like that. I was winding my way down the hill, and with a tip of that size, you've got exhaust brakes, and I was sort of like under compression, so my exhaust brakes were on. So I wasn't really quiet, but I wasn't really noisy either. I was just bumbling down the hill. And I was coming into this hard right-hander, probably 300 metres or something before a campground that's on the Cooma River called Sharp Park. And coming into this right-hander just before the bottom of the hill sort of thing, and just off to my right, like sort of out of the corner of my eye, I saw this movement, and it was a sort of, I thought it was a boulder or a rock, and it's rolling down off this embankment, like the road sort of comes down off this embankment on the right, across the road, and then down a bit of an embankment on the left. And saw this movement, and I wasn't sure what it was. So I started to hit the brakes, and then I was sure there was something there. So I jammed on the brakes and locked up the truck. It was then when this object hit the side of the road that I realised that it wasn't a rock or a boulder. It's turned, it's landed on the road and stood up, and it was a monster. It scared the crap out of me. It's landed like Tony Stark, the Iron Man, lands on 2 feet and one fist, like in a squatted position, and it stood up. And as it stood up, it's turned around to see me coming down the road at it. And it would have seen me with, like, the rear of my truck locked up, like half sideways across the road coming down the road at it. And I pulled up probably 2 meters away from it, and it's like as it stood up and turned to see me, and in its turning motion, it stepped onto the road and turned to face me. This thing, it was 10 foot. It was 10 foot tall, 9 foot six, 10 foot tall.
Wow, that's huge.
I'm sitting in the truck, like I'm in a normal size tip truck. The top of my truck is 3.2 metres. I'm sitting there in my truck, and this thing's standing about a metre away from my bonnet, and looking me dead in the eye, all slightly looking down at me. I had to crouch down a little bit because it's 10 o'clock in the morning, that the sun's in front of me or slightly to my left, because I'm heading basically north down the mountain. But I had to crouch down slightly in my seat to see the top of his head. I could see his navel above the bonnet of my truck. I can stand at the front of my truck on 5'10", 5'11", and my head's level with the bonnet of my truck. So his navel is 5'10". So he's freaking huge, and this thing, as he's turned and stepped out and faced me, he's got this look. This is one of the things, Kay, this is one of the things that really, really got me about this animal or this creature, is the amount of human emotion, or what I class as human emotion, that he showed when he spun around to see me, was his look of surprise or shock or confusion. Like, he's sort of turned around and thought, oh, shit, you know, what, you know? And it's just that surprise in his face, like, oh, shit, I've been sprung, you know. And it scared the crap out of me just because I was looking at something that I never, ever thought I would see, something that still scares the crap out of me to this day. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't put a name on it or anything like that. And yeah, it's looked at me, and it's 9 foot 6 or 10 foot tall. It's covered in dark red, or dark brown, reddish tinge hair, probably about 2 inches long. It didn't have hair around its cheek or its top lip or around its eyes, or even it didn't have like a goatee or anything like that. It had hair underneath its chin, but it didn't have hair between its bottom lip and its chin. So it didn't have that little bit of hair in there, but it had hair all over the rest of its body. It wasn't really long hair, though. It was only like 2 inches long. It was short enough so I could see its belly button, its navel. And it was built like an athlete. It was toned. It was how would you say it? Like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. It was like him times two.
Yeah, I hear a lot of reports that say they almost look like bodybuilders.
Yeah, mate, like bodybuilders have got nothing on this beast, hey. It was like if someone told me it could run 100 kilometres an hour, I'd believe it just because of the look of him. If someone told me it could jump onto the roof of a house, I'd believe it, you know. But this thing, he was just the epitome of fitness. I haven't seen any of him before or any of them after. I haven't seen him since. But this guy, I reckon, was the prime example of his race. You know, he was perfect. He was a male. I didn't see any breasts or anything like that. And I wouldn't say he had the perfect V-shaped physique because he was more of a barrel than a V-shape, but he didn't have a gut on him or anything like that. He was the perfect perfect machine, honey.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible, yeah. Glenn. Were you a believer of the Yowie before this?
Well, I'd heard about Yowies. I never believed them. I never disbelieved. I thought, well, mankind hasn't discovered everything on this planet yet. You know, we've only just recently discovered the panda bear and the mountain gorilla and all that sort of stuff. It's taken us. However many centuries it is to discover a bear, and a panda bear is a slow black and white bear that wanders around in one of the most populated countries in the world.
And it's not like they're exactly trying to hide, are they?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, how can you hide when you're black and white, you know? So I've never disbelieved in the Yowie, but I've never sort of actively believed that they're out there. I thought, well, you know, it's a possibility. There's giant squid and all sorts of other things.
So with this thing being 10 foot tall, that's absolutely gigantic.
Yeah, well, I drew a quick sketch. It took me a while to do it because, well, after – after the fact, I found it hard to believe my own eyes. Like, it scared me. It really scared me. It scared the shit out of me. And
Did you ever feel in danger, Glenn?
Well, I was saying the thing that struck me the most was the emotion in its face. Now, its emotion changed. I'll continue with a little bit more of the story first. It's turned around, landed on the ground, stood up and turned around to face me with shock in its face, like, oh, shit, I've been sprung, you know, I've been caught out in the open. And then in a split second, the emotion on its face was like embarrassed or it's gone, oh, shit, you know, I've done wrong here. I'm caught out in the open. And then a split second after that, that embarrassment or whatever it is has turned into anger or aggressive.
And what do you mean by that?
It sort of looked up at me and thought, oh, shit, I've been sprung. And sort of looked a little bit humiliated. And then it's gone. And its brows sort of come together a bit. And it's looked angry. And it's, sorry, it's grunted. Yeah, you've got to call it a grunt. It's like a... and palmed my bonnet, like not a punch with a fist, but an open hand punch to the centre top of my bonnet of the truck, which is 6 foot high, and it's had to push down to hit the centre of my bonnet. And it's just gone slam onto the bonnet of my truck as it's gone, and then it's turned to its right and taken 2 steps and has cleared the road and disappeared in the bush.
Far out, Glenn. That sounds terrifying. What was going through your mind when the creature was starting? Yeah. What was going through your mind when it was starting to hit your bonnet?
I was looking for reverse. Like at the time I sit in a truck like that, you're fairly high up off the ground and you kind of feel invincible because, you know, you've got a 10-ton truck. You're sitting on 5 or 6 ton of chassis engine sort of thing. You're feeling pretty tough. You know, cars don't worry you too much. You know, if you're going to have a collision, that the cars are going to come off second best and you're probably going to survive all right. But this thing here, I reckon he would have weighed 3/4 ton, you know. He's solid. It's like a prize bull standing on its back legs, if its legs were bigger.
Yeah, that's like big, isn't it?
Yeah, your biggest bull standing upright. It's unfathomable, the size of this thing, you know, and it scared the crap out of me, and it still does now. Like, I'd been camping at that sharp path just near where it was since then, but I haven't ventured off into the bush by myself or anything. I think when he turned around, just the look of aggression in his face when he's palm my bonnet, like punch my bonnet. It scared me. It changed my whole outlook on life. All this time, you hear stories about the boogeyman and ghosts and all this sort of stuff, and you think, yeah. But then when you come face to face with a monster that nearly twice as tall as you are and 4 times as heavy as you are, or five times as heavy as you are, and you see him face to face, it's pretty stuffed up, eh?
Yeah, I can only. Yeah.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Imagine, and I'm going to say it's pretty safe to assume that you felt in some incredible danger in that situation.
Yeah, mate, like I said, I was looking for reverse. When it turned and punched my bonnet, I was, like, my legs were jelly, but I was still, like, because I was stationary, I had one foot on the clutch and one foot on the brake, and, I was jiggling for reverse when he slapped the bonnet. I was ready to dump the clutch and go up, whether I was backing over a car or not. I was ready to get out of there, but he's sort of turned to his right and gone off the road.
It really sounds like you got off quite lightly in the situation, considering how aggressive this creature was getting.
Oh, yeah, mate. I've got no doubt that he could have just sort of jumped and been on my bonnet and smashed through the windscreen and dragged me out, or... I reckon by the size, and like I said, my truck's 9.5 ton empty, and I reckon he could have grabbed hold of the bumper bar and lifted the front of the truck off the ground. He's just such a magnificent specimen of a creature, and I reckon he could bench press the front of my truck. It was crazy. He's turned and gone off into the bush and disappeared, and I was like jelly. I just took my foot off the bike and rolled down the next couple of hundred metres till I got down to the flat near the park, and just sat there and chain smoked for about half an hour before I continued with the rest of my day. It was crazy. I didn't tell anyone about it it was close to a month before I even told my wife about it, because I wasn't even sure what I saw myself, you know. I couldn't put a name to it or anything. I didn't want to go telling everyone, everyone just thinking I'd been on drugs or drinking or whatever, you know.
And what did your wife say about it when you eventually told her?
Well, she was actually a lot better than I thought she'd be. Because the last person you want to think that you want them to think that you're crazy is your wife. Like, you tell your wife and I've seen a monster, and she thinks he's crazy, I'm leaving him, you know. But she was actually really good and believed me, and said, well, I think there's a lot of creatures on this earth that haven't been discovered yet, like we haven't been to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, or we haven't been to the middle of the Amazon rainforest, and we haven't been to all these places, like, so many places in the world have been undiscovered yet, so we haven't discovered so many animals, you know. So she was actually very good about it and supported me, which sort of gave me confidence, you know.
Yeah, no, that's really fantastic to hear. Did you happen to ask any of your workmates if they've seen anything like that?
Yeah, well, like I said, after 30 days, after about a month, I started to open up about it. Like, apart from my wife, I told a couple of workmates and that, like, I wanted to really be sure what I'd seen and all that sort of stuff. So after I was there, even before I spoke to my wife about it, I started to research myself. Like, when I say research, I just don't mean like field research. I mean internet, podcasts and all that sort of stuff. And I started to read a lot of Dean Harrison's interviews and anything I could find on the internet about it, and found out other people's stories, and a bit like what you do on Believe, just listened and found out that I wasn't the only one that's seen this creature, you know, and that it's not as rare as I thought it, not as stupid as it sounds. I was just really scared to be the one that saw this imaginary monster, you know?
And that is, it's a terrifying thing just in that in itself, because this is supposed to be something that's made up. It's fairy tales. It's, you know, it's folklore around Australia. And when you see one that is initially, it's basically flesh and blood right in front of you. I mean, it hit your vehicle that you're driving. There's no denying that this thing wasn't in front of you. Like you said earlier, that just changes your perspective on everything.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's all of a sudden you believe in the boogeyman. Like, you believe that there are monsters, you know. You get to 16 years old and you think, ah, you know, they're all fairy tales, you know, elves, trolls, the boogeyman, anything that you've been, any fairy tales, like, they're all fairy tales, you know. But then all of a sudden you come face to face with this thing that could rip your head off as quick as look at you, and you realise, oh, not everything's a fairy tale. You know, there are real monsters. And, you know, after I told my wife and told a couple of my workmates, then word got around the yard, you know, oh, Glenn's seen a monster, you know. Well, I come to work the next day and they said, oh, you've seen a monster? And I sort of say, yeah. And all of a sudden they say, oh, my uncle saw this, or my brother saw this, or my granddad said he saw this, and not one of them. What I was really worried about was the whole yard laughing at me, but not one of them even questioned it. They all had, all the guys in the yard, they all had a story to tell, or at least they were all really interested in my experience, rather than ridiculing me or humiliating me about it or anything like that. They were all interested to hear or wanted to share their story with me, you know. It was crazy. I thought I would be the laughing stock, and that's what stopped me from telling them in the first place. Otherwise, like, if I knew I would have had that sort of reaction, I would have told everyone on the first day when I got back, hey, guys, I saw a yowie. And, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a really fantastic outcome from a situation like this. And I'm sure a lot of listeners could actually take something from that, because I've had quite a few people who have come on the show and they've just held on to their stories for the longest time, only because of the same thing that you felt there, Glenn, is that they felt like they might have been ridiculed or laughed at or mocked. Just
fear of humiliation. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, it just goes to show that if you do reach out, you know, there's going to be people out there who believe you. And, I mean, this is the whole reason that we do this podcast, is to help people with that. But it only takes one of these creatures to be found, and that changes everything.
Oh, yeah. Like, in hindsight, like, I don't know. I'm still in two minds, but see, I was in a different truck that I normally drive. My normal truck's got a dash cam in it. I put a dash cam in my truck because I was in an accident in Springfield, which is in the suburbs of Sydney. I'm in Brisbane, sorry. And it could have quite easily been my fault, but it wasn't. She came through a red light at me. And I put a dash cam in my truck just as assurance, you know, so as I can prove that accidents aren't my fault. And that truck had problems with its hydraulics that day, so I was in a different truck. So that's why I didn't get dash cam footage of it. If I was in my truck, well, I would have had the best footage.
And it's always the way, isn't it?
Patterson Gimlin film. Yeah. Yeah. I would have had the best footage since the Paddy film. But, like from 6 foot away, it would have been great. But, it just never works out like that, you know?
And that's it. I mean, if that was the way, everyone would have this creature would be found, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I've reported this. Like I said, I spoke to Dean Harrison about it, and he interviewed me once. So I've been asked for interviews by all the papers and all that sort of stuff, and I sort of denied all the interviews. I just didn't want to be hassled with the whole thing, and my wife was getting sick of it and all that sort of stuff. But I gave Dean an interview, and he was really, really helpful with it. He helped me deal with the stress of it all and all that sort of stuff. And we went back up there, Dean and me, and one of Dean's friends who's an artist who actually drew the better sketch. Like I've drawn a really rough sketch of this creature's face, but the artist drew a lot better one, which was published in most of the papers. I drew the sketch of the monster next to me. We call the monster Kevin. that was just a inside joke between the three of us. I don't know how we come across Kevin, but yeah, Kevin's his name. And yeah, Dean really helped it. When you experience something like this, you go through a lot of inner turmoil, and Dean was really good in helping me deal with that, and made me feel better about myself and less scared inside. It's always good to talk to someone who's dealt with something like that, and Dean's had a couple of experience. I don't know whether you know Dean very well, or but he's had actual physical contact with the creature before, and he's gone through a lot of stuff himself, and helped me come out the other side too. So that was really good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I can't really describe the creature too much better than the drawings. Like I said, he didn't have hair under his lip, or on top of his lip, or around his cheeks and face, but he had like 1.5 to 2 inch long, dark red, brownish hair all over the rest of his body. It sort of didn't seem to be any longer at any place than anywhere else, you know. Like, his hair wasn't longer on his body than it was on his head. His head, like, as per my research, like, they say they've got cone heads, and this thing didn't have a cone head. Its head was pretty round, just like a human's head. It wasn't slanted back or anything too much on the forehead. It was more of a chimpanzee's face than your typical when they describe a Sasquatch or whatever, they say its forehead slopes backwards into a conical sort of shape head and all that sort of stuff. But this thing didn't really do that. It was more of a round face, more of a cross between a chimpanzee and a human than a baboon or a gorilla or anything like that.
That's really interesting that you say that there, Glenn, because I get a lot of reports that say the same thing, because you hear about encounters with these creatures over in the, you know, in other parts of the world. Mostly the United States is where I hear a lot of them from. And they all seem to be, like you said, they seem to have that cone-shaped head with the sloping forehead, but every single one that I've heard in Australia, they have more of that round head, more of a, you know, to reach out, it's kind of a human-shaped head, but covered in hair.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder if this is a, maybe if it's a distant relative to the ones that we get overseas or anything like that, or maybe it's an entirely different creature altogether.
Well, it could be an entirely different creature. It could be evolved to suit this environment. I don't really know what they are. You know, I'd like to say they're a monkey. I'd like to say they're a half human. I'd look into it a whole lot, and I come from a Christian upbringing, so I sort of tend to lean to there's a theory that they've come from the Nephilim, which is a cross between the fallen angels and humans. The fallen angels were giants, and they mated with humans, and these are the offspring of that. Sort of lean that way a bit rather than thinking that they're just a primate. I don't know. It's just a real head. I can say that. I've been trying to figure out what they are since I saw him, and it's just mind blowing trying to piece it. Like he looked like, his face looked like a chimpanzee, but his body looked like Dwayne Johnson on steroids. It was just really, he just sort of, whatever he was, he just changed my whole outlook on life and my whole belief system. It's just sort of, it shattered me. It took me, like I said, it took me 30 days to tell my wife, and after I told my wife, I felt so relieved. So then I could tell my family and open up to other people. But before that, I just didn't want to tell anyone because I wasn't sure what I'd seen myself, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Glenn, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure hearing your story, and hopefully sharing it with our audience will help you hopefully get a little bit of closure about it, because maybe someone out there around that area has seen something similar, and this just might help them out as well.
Yeah, well, sure. It does help when you share it with someone else, and I'd really like to encourage anyone else who's seen something to step up and say something about it, because when you do, you feel a weight lifting off your back. You know, you feel like, especially if you don't get ridiculed about it. I don't know how you'd feel if you got ridiculed about it, but if you share your story, then other people who've got similar stories, they end up getting in contact with you, and you feel validated, and you feel reassured that you're not going crazy.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFOradio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.